with Jorge Rodriguez. We're actually recording live at Alcoa during a rainstorm. And so, Jorge, thank you for being with us here today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So I guess our first question would be, what got you to your role here at Alcoa? Like, where did you start, and how did you get here? First of all, what are you here at Alcoa?
I'm the human resources manager for Davenport Works. We are what is called in Alcoa a midstream operation. Alcoa has upstream, midstream, and downstream, and we're right in the middle. That is, we don't mine the bauxite out of the ground, but we don't form it. We don't form the aluminum into a product that is sold out to consumers. We are a midstream processor, if you will. And the majority of the aluminum that we process here and we sell are to aircraft companies like Boeing and Airbus are our two largest customers.
Yeah.
We're now developing a new customer in the automotive area, which is Ford.
Yeah.
Ooh. And they're starting with the F-150?
The F-150, that's right.
Yeah, I saw
that. They are taking a lot of steel out and replacing it with aluminum.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that works out for them. I hope it does. It makes it a lot lighter, so it should increase gas mileage a little bit.
Yep.
But yeah, I thought that was interesting that they're trying to do that, especially with the with their best-selling pickup.
Yes. The F-150
is
the crown.
That's one of the best-selling vehicles
ever.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the crown jewel of the company.
Yeah, they're really putting a lot of stock into it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that Alcoa gets to be part of it, too.
Yep.
So how long have you been here in this role?
At Davenport?
Mm-hmm.
I have been here now for 11 years.
11 years. And how did you even come about finding Alcoa? How did you get into...
It's kind of a funny story of sorts, but I was working at that time. My background is in engineering,
mm-hmm.
and then I got a master's in business administration. I'm a mechanical engineer by degree, and I was working for Michelin Tire in South Carolina, and I had some friends of mine who left Michelin and went to work at Alcoa Fujikura, a partnership with a Japanese company making fiber optic cable. And these friends of mine and kind of talked to me into interviewing with Alcoa, with AFL, Alcoa Fujikura, and they told me, yeah, you got to come and interview with us. It's a great company and so on. And I went and interviewed with them. And Alcoa made me a job offer, and I turned it down.
Did you really?
Yeah. But this is when I knew that I was dealing with a different kind of company, because the company for which I worked, if you interview with them and they made you a job offer and you turn them down, they wouldn't, that would be done.
Backs.
They would move on. Well, Alcoa came back and said, no, we want to keep talking to you. You don't really know us that well yet, and... Anyway, so they invited me again and took me to their headquarters for interviews and so on. And then I got to see a little bit more about the company. I got a much better understanding
mm-hmm.
of what it was about, what it did, of its values, and so on and so forth. And then they made me another job offer. So I took the job the second time.
But you're like, I really want to keep working on these tires.
Well, because Michelin
tire thing is really...
Michelin is a good company, and they make good tires. To date, I buy Michelins because I know how they're made, and
sure.
You know, it's a good quality product.
Yeah.
You do pay more
right.
for a Michelin, but you get what you pay for
mm-hmm.
when it comes to tires.
That's right.
And I consider those kind of important with regards to safety. You know, so
Ian keeps telling me I need to get new tires.
You do. They're bald. They're really bald.
Hey,
you're gonna slide around in this rain.
Yeah.
And the
tires
snow,
are important.
It's not. Yeah, it is.
Tires are very important.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
I'm the kind of person, I walk around and I look at cars' tires. Yeah.
I do too. For some reason, I notice those kind of things.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I do too. But that's why I was looking at his, and I'm like, he needs to, well, it's too late to rotate them. They're
already
they're
gone.
Shot.
Yeah.
You need to get new tires.
Man.
You've already got, 45,000 miles on those tires?
43,500.
So you're probably coming pretty
you
close to what
good life out of them.
Yeah,
I got 7,000 miles left on them, right?
Well, it depends on the tire.
That's right.
You know,
if I had Michelin.
If you paid more initially,
this is what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
I'm gonna rent a Prius C. Take the wheels off.
Don't incriminate yourself.
Put those on my Prius and then turn it in.
That sounds illegal.
It does.
Where? Okay, so you just started Alcoa, coming in from Michelin.
How many kids did you have at the time? Because that's another big part of your life is you
it
have
is.
Five kids.
I do.
And did you I have do. Any young ones then?
I'm trying to think when the all of them had been born by the time I had started at Alcoa.
Sure.
I think my twins were 4 years old. And they are now 18.
Yeah.
And I've been with Alcoa for about 14 years now. Nice. So, yep.
Well, and I know that we have you in our Core 4 in the scouting world.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to talk to you quite a bit and really enjoy that. But how? What's your scouting history like?
Yeah, my scouting history really began after my son dragged me to a roundup, basically. At Pleasant View Elementary, with at that time the Pac 129 Cub Master was David Huber. I don't know if that mm-hmm. resonates with mm-hmm. anybody, and that's how it all began. I was not a scout as a boy. I was not born in the U.S. I was born in Cuba. When we came to the U.S., I started in sixth grade. And scouting was nowhere near my radar. I mean, that was something little American boys did, not little Cuban refugees did. So I started going to PAC 129 meetings to take my son, and they were looking for parents to help, and I started helping, and I ended up becoming the PAC 129 treasurer. Then I became a den leader, and I was Weebles 1 den leader and Weebles 2 den leader. Then when my son moved over to Troop 24, you know, I kind of followed the same pattern. The first year I didn't do anything for Troop 24 because I wanted to create some space there, and he didn't want me to get involved with it anyway.
He wanted to find his own path, right? He
right.
wanted to figure it out
yeah,
on his
and
own.
And I wanted him to have space,
right.
You know. I wanted him to go on his camp house on his own, and,
right.
and all that was good. It was very good. And then I started getting engaged. After about a year, I started getting engaged, and I'm trying to remember what my first official role with the troop was, but I was finding Eagle projects for the Troop 24 Eagle Scout candidates. And then I joined the committee, and then the committee asked me to become the scoutmaster, which was, to me, was very surprising and flattering. And to date, I tell anybody who will listen about the openness of the scout organization to accept people like me in the role or in any roles, not really having had a traditional scouting background.
Well, I know that you've been in the district commissioner role now for how many years?
It's it'll be 2 years in January.
Years in January. And you've been a large part of a lot of the success that we've had in Catan. And we're really, it is a pleasure to get to work with you.
Thank you.
And now we've got Bob rounding out that
mm-hmm.
That core four that we've got.
Yep.
And I think we're really primed to do a lot of good things. But aside from that, you're a huge Yankees fan.
I am.
and where did that stem from? Because I know that's something that, I mean, you bleed pinstripes, right?
Yeah. Yes. I don't know. You know, just like I can't think of life without knowing English or Spanish, you know, because I cannot think monolingually. I can't think of life without the Yankees. Ever since I was a little boy, I mean, my father was a huge Yankees fan, and I didn't know that I was a Yankees fan until somebody told me, because I thought everybody was a Yankees fan. You know?
You thought that was the team.
That was it.
That was the team.
That was it.
That's an interesting way to think of it.
No, because I bet that's a lot of people, that's how it is.
Yeah, it didn't dawn on me that there could be fans for other teams.
Right,
you know?
Think of it. Growing up in Clinton, Iowa, like, my whole family is Cubs fans, and it's just like, oh yeah, we're Cubs fans.
You just
yeah.
assume.
You know what I mean? Like, you just, that's just how you
yeah.
grow up.
Yep.
I grew up hearing, you know, now, this is not too far removed from the careers of Mickey Mantle in particular. But I, you know, ever since I have used a reason, I've known about the great Mickey Mantle. And before him, Joe DiMaggio. And before him, Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth. I mean, those were... So, so I've always been a Yankees fan, regardless of where I may be. Yeah, and then, you know, when we came to the States, we moved to Miami, a suburb of Miami. And I don't know if you've spent a lot of time in Miami, but at one time, Miami was sort of like the sixth borough of New York.
Really?
Because, yeah, there are a lot of transplanted New Yorkers there. Yeah, who as a matter of fact, sometimes people think that I have a New York accent. And I don't know what my – I can't detect my accent. But some people think I'm from New York.
You'll hear it after you listen to this podcast.
Yeah, probably.
You'll be like, who's this New York guy they're interviewing?
But yeah, because in the, you know, Florida is not a real southern state. I mean, South Florida definitely is not a southern region, and the accents there are anything but southern.
Right.
But I've been a Yankees fan all my life. I've been to Yankee Stadium several times. I drove up on the 4th of July weekend to Minneapolis to see the Yankees and pay my respects to the captain who's retiring.
Derek Jeter.
Yeah, and you know, the Yankees don't have a lot of captains. Because you got to earn the right to be the captain.
Well,
you know?
How long has Jeter been playing ball with the Yankees?
Oh, boy.
Ever since I can remember.
19 years.
Yeah.
Because he was, when I graduated in 99, and he was just starting to get
Jeter's on episodes of Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as a Yankee.
Yeah, he's a real decent guy. The Yankees are kind of old-fashioned in many ways, in their uniforms, in their facial hair policy and stuff like that. And Jeter is a throwback to you know, a lot of the values of the old game, that, you know, the way the game was played.
Right.
You know, about not showing up pitchers, about laying down the bunts, about being a spray hitter to all fields. I mean, Jeter does that. The other day, I was watching him, he bunted, and I'm like, loving this. I'm loving this, because
he doesn't have to bunt.
He has 3,000 hits already, you know, and millions of dollars.
He's going in the Hall of Fame.
And he's putting down those bunts, you know. Very nice. Very nice.
So now you have 5 kids.
Yeah.
Which one's your favorite?
They're all my
favorite. now all 5 of your kids, now they're all currently in college.
My oldest graduated
last year.
Yes, last year. And this year I have the remaining 4 are in college. I have a senior, a junior, and 2 freshmen.
And so now... what are the 4? Are they all schools? Because they're all like top notch schools.
I'd like to think so.
Now your oldest graduated Ivy League, right?
She did. She graduated from Columbia University, which is in Manhattan, from mechanical engineering, and she's working at John Deere now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Up in Dubuque. Yep.
Wow,
that's cool.
My next oldest is at the University of Northern Iowa, which is a great learning institution, right, Andrew?
Of course.
I can't believe you didn't make sound or like a cheer or sing the fight song or something.
I still owe them a lot of money.
You haven't gotten over it.
Not that one yet, no. we'll get back to that. Well, I'll cheer them on in a couple of years.
So she's a junior at Northern Iowa, senior at Northern Iowa. The junior is, then the next 3 are at University of Iowa, the junior and the 2 freshmen.
Now, okay, so one of the things Ian and I kind of talked about is that most dads fit into a TV dad trope. What TV dad do you think that you are? or like, who do you aspire to be, maybe? Because maybe the one that
who's
you think
a TV
that
dad
are.
That you like, that you think that would be, you know, that kind of his kind of leadership is unique, funny, entertaining, or you think it's good, something to be admired.
I'm at a disadvantage with this question because I don't watch a lot of TV. I will tell you, I don't know if this qualifies, but the character, maybe I can say a character that I'm told that I resemble or have a lot of share something with, I guess, is Sheldon in
Who has told
in the
you
Big
this?
Bang Theory.
Who has told you this?
Well, my wife. I said, okay, Sheldon.
So you're a creature of habit. Do you have a spot in the living room that's your spot? Is that some of the different things that...
I'm somewhat of a creature of habit. Not that, but I do have a spot in my living room. Who's sitting on my spot?
Perfectly placed between the window and the yeah. viewing the TV.
Because if you get a cross breeze from the...
Yeah, exactly. So...
I think if Sheldon was to have kids... That would be the worst thing that would happen to that show.
The show would be over. It would be over.
Yeah.
Well, we'll use that as a natural segue into our first question.
Yeah. Okay.
So our first question is, what is your favorite current TV show?
You might be surprised. I mean, I do like The Big Bang Theory a lot because it's kind of geeky like me. But the this is a guilty pleasure that I'm sharing with very, very few people. I love to watch Dancing with the Stars.
Well, they just announced a new cast yesterday.
Have they announced it?
Announced a new cast.
I got to check
it out. Anybody of note?
Charlton from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Carlton.
I never watched that show.
Yeah.
Lorraine McFly from Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah.
Leah Thompson is her name. Maybe there was like a race car driver. I don't want to say Andretti, but I don't think that's right.
Mario Andretti.
But they had a mix.
The show begins a week from this Monday. It begins a week from Monday. I got it on my calendar.
So, what is it about Dancing with the Stars?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's you know, when I was when I grew up, I mean, in my home culture, if you will, dancing is something that you do.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I know how to dance.
Yeah.
Among Cubans, I'm not a very good dancer. But among other people, I'm considered a Fred Astaire, you know, so somewhere in between.
Well, in this group, you're definitely the Fred Astaire.
I think dancing well is hard, and I appreciate to see good dancing, I guess. It's fun, you know, it also takes, you know, I don't have to think about difficult stuff, and I can have, you know, my mind kind of shut off.
Right, right, just be entertained.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've been told that every guy needs to be able to know how to swing dance. Like, that needs to be a talent that you have in your back pocket.
It's a nice talent.
Who were you told that by? Your
mom? I'm not going to talk about
it. Was it your mom? It was your mom.
It wasn't my mom.
It was your mom. You know how to swing dance. That's why you're
saying. I don't know how to swing dance. But I'm willing to learn because I was told that every guy knows how to...
I didn't know that was the guy protocol. I didn't know that was part of being...
It's a very good way of meeting people of the opposite sex, particularly for guys.
Okay, so our next question. If you started all over again and you had to choose a completely different job, what would be your dream job? But it can't be this one.
Oh, that's a tough question to ask me because I don't look back. I don't think what ifs.
But do you look to the side? Like, oh, that looks fun. Would you want to be the manager of the Yankees?
Or the shortstop of the Yankees? Or something like
that. Or the guy who sells beer in the stands of the Yankees?
It gets to go to every home game? Yeah.
Well, speaking about that, when I was, 16, 17, I wanted to... I played baseball myself. I was not very good at it, but I played it. And I always, the only dream job that I've had was I wanted to play center field for the Yankees while Reggie Jackson played right field. I thought that would be the coolest thing. I'm a big Reggie Jackson fan. Of course, you know, the other Yankee who have played center field are people like Joe DiMaggio, right?
Right.
But anyway, yeah, that would have been really, really cool. You know, in terms of like a professional what ifs or what would I like to do, I don't know. I I got to think about that. I mean, because I like reading, and you know, I've always wondered if I could make a living writing.
Yeah.
Which is really tough, I think. And I've always liked the outdoors. To me, you know, doing, you know, having some sort of like, this is a little bit more than I would bargain for, but I do watch, you know, talking about shows that I watch, I do watch Alaska State Troopers.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that I like about that show is that they hang outdoors a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't mind the cold or anything like that. So to me, that might be one of those what ifs, I guess, that, but I wouldn't want to be a trooper. I want to be like a ranger, like an Alaska.
You should be a mountain man, like on that show, The Mountain Men.
Well, yeah, but they, I don't think they have any teeth.
Yeah,
really.
But like, what's crazy is they'll be like, "There's a
aspire to
there's
that.
There's a mountain lion up in that tree there.
Yeah,
hand me that stick so I can poke him out of it. Like, that's a mountain lion.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
It's good
here?
TV. It's good TV.
Yeah, exactly.
And the guy's like, "There's a bear over there in my hen house. Yeah. I'm gonna go back and poke him with a stick. Get him out of here. Yep. Get out of here.
Yep.
You know, we've asked that question at least 25 times, and no one's ever said a DE. No one's ever said a district executive.
That's because nobody wants to be a district executive.
Probably nobody said a human resources manager either. With all the headaches that we have, you know.
I'm waiting for someone to be like, I want to be like a paid assassin. Like, I want to work for the CIA.
And then the microphone stops, and the interview's over.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear somebody say.
Last question. If you could meet anyone, fictional, dead, alive, and have a meal with them, who would you meet and what would you eat with them?
Actually, you know, the first part I think is pretty easy. And I don't know why. I want to meet Mother Teresa.
Really?
And I don't know if that is... out of character, surprising or not, but I'm a big fan of Mother Teresa. She was, and I didn't meet her, but to me, she represented everything that you would expect, that I would expect of kindness in a person. Mm-hmm. And I think she's the closest thing, or she is, the living, or she's not living anymore, I guess, but the only, I think of, when I think of her, I really think of her as a saintly
sure.
person. Now, what I would eat with her, gosh, I don't know. I like Italian food.
Well, maybe she did too.
But, I don't know. But whatever she would want to eat, I would, whatever, I would eat it
where
just to
you,
have dinner
Where would you
with.
Eat it at? Would you have her over to your house?
You know, I think she would be the kind of person that would be the kind of person that would appreciate being invited to somebody's home.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. To me, that would really be
and then you're like,
be a role model.
That's my spot. Yeah. Mother Teresa, don't sit there.
No. If she came in and she sat on my spot, she could have it. She could have it, believe me.
Designated.
See, my thing is like, I would be the one, I'd be like, oh, I have a sore throat. And then shake Mother Teresa's hand and be like, sore throat's gone. Like, what do I, oh my God.
It's a miracle.
Yeah.
Well, Jorge, thank you so much for spending these last couple minutes with us and kind of giving the Catan families a little bit more of a portrait of you. And your leadership, and we hope to do some good things with you here in the future, and hopefully we're taking Catan to the next level here.
Yeah.
And we know we've got a lot of good families out there, and a lot of good leaders. So.
Well, and I know that from day one of Ian and I working together, we always talk about working with our dream team, mm-hmm. And you're already part of it. You're already part of it.
You're the number one draft pick.
And yeah, and you were part of the forming of the team that we have now, and
right.
I think that we're pretty well set to continue paving the way into the future.
Yep, I think so.
Well, thank you. Appreciate
Rock
it.
And roll. Well, hey, have fun, you know, helping pay off all that tuition. And we will talk with you soon.
All right. Thank you.